in a way, Dante's version of that would be standing there, looking out and saying, so, how many of you are from Florence? How many of you are from Florence in the years preceding 1300? Fact is that we don't know too many of those folks, and in fact, they probably wouldn't have survived for us if it had not been for the fact that Dante included him, included them in the poem. So one of the things that we need to do, I think, is spend a little bit of time talking about the kind of political and institutional background for the poem, just so that we can do a kind of preliminary job of sending us back to Florence in the time of Dante. And I guess another reason for doing background is that, as commentators right from the beginning recognized, this is a learned poem by a learned poet. Okay, he has pretty high expectations of his audience, and some of those expectations, I think, have to be filled by background checks about things that are no longer common knowledge and things that Dante would have been able to assume on the part of an educated audience in his own time. So that essentially, for a while, what we're going to do is talk about that kind of background before we plunge into the poem, starting with, in particular, the world that Dante inhabited in Florence.
I think it's important to say that the poem, the Commedia in Italian, the Divine Comedy we call it today in English, is on the one level autobiographical. That is to say, Dante is telling a kind of story about himself, not to be accepted obviously in the most literal terms, but nevertheless the poem is autobiographical. Secondly, although certainly it's by no means the only focus of the poem is very highly political. And the political world of Dante was every bit as complex as our political world today. And to some extent, it's difficult to understand the game if you don't know the players, and you don't know the players, obviously, without a program. One of the things you may find useful to know is that Ron's own academic field is literature, and I'm a historian, so you may or may not detect that we have our own disciplinary biases in the way we say the things that we say to one another and to all of you. But as the historian, let me suggest that one place to start is with a very brief biography of Dante, followed by a somewhat more lengthy discussion of the world of Florence and Florentine and Italian politics in the time of Dante. Just to get some information out of the way so that historians are not accused simply of being information mongers and the facts people, Dante was born in the year 1265 in the city of Florence. He was a member of a middle-class family. His father was a member of a guild. We don't know exactly how Dante got his education, although we certainly know he got a lot of it somewhere. Many people think from both the Dominican and Franciscan friars in Florence, they were the two great new orders of Dante's day, and they did a great deal of teaching at a variety of levels. As Dante became an adult, it seems that he took up two vocations that he clearly never saw as two separate or separable entities. One was as a politician, and the other was as a poet.
Yeah, now it's interesting to think about those. Again, it doesn't quite fit modern categories because we tend not to combine the two. The notion of combining politician and poet therefore needs to be explained a little bit more carefully. One of the things that's interesting, I think, about the poetry part of it is that one could look at it as a kind of outgrowth of the training in rhetoric which was necessary for someone who was going to engage in the political life. Okay, you had to learn how to talk by using certain set forms. That became a good practice for that would be to write poems, so that young men who were both fashionable and getting ready for a career in politics would often be poets. And Dante was no exception to that, except for the fact that his poems tend to be better. And in fact, had he not written the Divine Comedy, his lyric poetry would still be enough to make him one of the most important figures in Italian literature. So that he writes love poetry for the most part in his early years, and I guess the culmination of this is poems that he writes to a kind of mysterious woman named Beatrice that he sees a few times in his life, mostly from a distance. And what he does in a very interesting early work called the Vita Nuova, the New Life,